Hello, everyone, and welcome to minute 20 of season 7 of Movie Around Minute, where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1995 Bruce Willis action flick Die Hard with a Vengeance, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me to finish off this week is my good friend, Nick Rehack, of many different things, but mostly nowadays from the Rabbit Hole Podcast Network. Welcome back to the show, Nick.
Thank you very much for having me and finishing out the week strong.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So minute 20 begins with Simon giving new orders and ends with Cobb talking about feet. So basically the way that we ended things yesterday was Simon pretty much insulted Zeus and told Zeus that he's now going to have to be a part of this whole shenanigan that he's playing around with. And then Simon started giving his new instructions. So he did say Simon says, and then it continues with that the McLean and the Samaritan will go to the subway station at 72nd and Broadway. I will call you in 15 minutes on the payphone outside the station. No police. Failure to answer will constitute noncompliance. Do you understand me, John? So, Simon's giving these instructions. And so I was very curious. I'm not from New York. I've been to New York. I've actually been to the subway station on 72nd and Broadway, which we'll talk about. Maybe I'll tell that story next week when we get there. But, it made me wonder, you have 1PP, One Police Plaza. And I was curious to know what's the real distance between One Police Plaza and 72nd Street. Is it something that you can do in 15 minutes? So what do you think? What would be your guess? Again, it's a yes or no guess. You have a 50-50 chance.
I'm going to say no.
And you would be correct. Okay, because going from One Police Plaza, which is, which is in lower Manhattan, all the way up to 72nd Street and Broadway will take you, if you go the fastest you can get there by cars is 34 minutes. It's 7.7 miles.
Wow.
So, again, maybe they're not at One Police Plaza, even though they make it seem as if they are. Maybe they're at a different place, but we just don't know that. But in their world, I guess they have the option of being able to get from the police station to 72nd and Broadway quite easily. it'll take you less than 15 minutes, so why not?
Sure.
So at this point, he wants to know if John understands him. And we know that John doesn't really care. And his response is, oh, yes, I understand. I understand that you're a f***ing wacko that likes to play kids games. That's what I understand. So it goes back to what we were talking about earlier this week, that John is the perfect character to be running through these hoops because he doesn't like to do so. So he's going to try and do it in the most efficient way as possible. And he doesn't mind pissing anyone off, especially if it's Simon. That doesn't really make a difference there. and then Simon responds and goes, hardly. John then continues to mock him even more and goes, hardly. Well, then who are you? Sent up? What'd you do? Shoplifting? Purse snatching? Cross-dressing? What? So we're going to go back to talking about some of these crimes. I know you like these little tests that I give you.
I do. So I really do.
What do you think the penalty of shoplifting is in New York?
In New York, I want to say a fine, no $500 fine and no more than a year in prison.
Okay. So first of all, there are five different types of shoplifting that you can have in New York.
I
because it all depends on the amount of money that what you stole is worth.
That's true.
Okay. So you have petty larceny, which is a class one misdemeanor, which if what you've stolen is worth less than $1,000, $1,000 or less, and for that you can get 1 year in jail and a fine of up to $1,000. Okay.
So I was close, kind of.
Yeah, for sure. Then you have grand larceny in the fourth degree, which is a class E felony, and it's any property that's valued between $1,000 and $3,000, and that's punishable of up to 4 years in prison and a fine of up to $5,000 or double the offender's gain. Okay, then the third type is grand larceny in the third degree, which is a Class D felony, and that's any property valued between $3,000 and $50,000. And so that's punishable of up to 7 years in prison and a fine of up to $5,000 or double the offender's gain. So, I mean, for what's really strange is that if it goes all the way up to $50,000, you stole something that's worth $48,000. You only have to pay $5,000, or you could pay double the price of what you stole. I mean, that's my understanding of what the offender's gain is, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I, yeah.
So, like, I don't know why they would say a fine of up to or double. Maybe saying that that's the maximum. No, but it can't be. Because if it's anywhere between 3,000, so even if you stole something that's worth 3,000, so the double will be 6,000. So, yes, the number can go higher, I guess. Okay.
Yeah.
That's
weird.
Then you have...
And that's such a jump, too, to go from 3,000...
Well, depending on what you stole. I don't know. You shoplifted a car. I don't know.
Well, just that window, I guess, is a little
maybe. Much,
but...
No, but maybe it's the idea of giving the court the leeway, depending on what was stolen and who the offender is and all that stuff. I don't know. Then the fourth type is a grand larceny in the second degree, which is a Class C felony, and that's anything that's valued between $50,000 and $1 million. And that's punishable of up to 15 years in prison and a fine of up to $5,000 or double the offender's gain. Ooh. Again, so it works the same way. So are they saying, like, if you – because here we're talking about shoplifting. Mm. Actually, still like a necklace or something like that. Could that be considered shoplifting, like a diamond necklace? I don't know, maybe. And then the –
Yeah. I would assume.
Because, again, maybe it's not like if you're going to go into an art museum and steal a painting, that's considered shoplifting. That's already considered, you know, that's stealing. I don't know. Like, where's...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, technically.
That's what I would think. I don't know. And then the final one is grand larceny in the first degree, which is a Class B felony, which is any property valued greater than $1 million, which is punishable of up to 25 years in prison, and a fine of up to $5,000 or double the offender's gain. So again, you know, it goes back to the whole idea. So I don't know. Maybe it has to do with the fact of whether they're able to recover the property that was stolen. I don't know.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Don't know. And then he mentions purse snatching. So purse snatching is known as either pickpocketing or money from a person, right? So if you steal cash, credit card, or any other property from a person's body, it's considered a felony in New York. And even if the value of the property is insignificant or is maybe only worth like $5 or something like that, it doesn't really matter. Because it makes no difference if the property is stolen from the person the person didn't even notice the theft. Yeah, it doesn't make a difference if the person knew or didn't know. I guess that's why it's pickpocketing. You know, the idea of that. And it doesn't need to be, there doesn't need to be any violence or force in order for this to be considered grand larceny in the fourth degree. So actually that.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Again, pickpocketing, you know, someone's pickpocketing. So, you know, you generally, if you're good at what you do, then no one's going to notice that that's what you did.
That's true.
Let's hope, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. So, I mean, basically, this is considered fourth degree larceny from this perspective. But then it depends on what it is that you have, you know, what you've stolen beyond that. Because you have the pickpocketing aspect of it and, you know, depending on what it is that you stole. So.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you just got to really hope nobody's got diamonds in their purse.
That's right. That's right. So, the idea is that depending on what it is that, you know, it goes back to what we were talking about before with shoplifting, the value. You know, that's how they decide the amount of prison time that you can go to. Because you can get 1 1/3 to 4 years in prison for this. Mm. Usually, first-time offenders is in probation, service, and a nominal fine. But then again, New York is now a sanctuary city, so I guess you can get away with doing these things without... You know, they're going to let you go anyway. So, I don't know.
Who knows?
Again, staying away from politics, but still. Had to go there, though. Had to go there from that perspective. Right. And then he mentions also cross-dressing, which I don't – it's not a crime, so it's very strange that he would throw that in there, but you know, that's just John's sense of humor, I guess you could say.
Yeah, maybe that's his poor attempt at humor.
Yeah, apparently. And then Simon goes, "You couldn't catch me if I stole your chair with you in it." And then John mocks him and goes, "My chair with me in it? Woohoo, that's very exciting." Again, John doesn't have any he doesn't have anything holding him back, I guess you can say. And he goes,
"Yeah, he sure don't.
Let me ask you a question, Bonehead. Why are you trying to kill me?" And Simon, you know, takes control of himself pretty quickly. And he says, John, calm yourself. He goes, "Well, why don't you come on down here to Police Plaza? And we'll figure this out like a couple of men, huh? Just come on down here." So, again, this proves that they are at Police Plaza. But are they at one Police Plaza or 100 Police Plaza? That I couldn't tell you. So, who knows from that perspective. And, you know, like I said, Simon's able to get control of himself pretty quickly from this perspective, because, you know, he apparently does have a stutter, but he's able to figure it out that, you know, if he's calm, he won't, he won't continue to stutter or whatever it is. And then Simon has a very strange response. He goes, "If killing you was all I wanted, you'd be dead by now." So, I mean, that's also interesting. It's basically telling us, you know, it's telling us the premise here that this is all a game to Simon. You know, we eventually find out why he did it and what his connection is to John and all that stuff. But basically, he doesn't care. You know, he just wants to have fun on the way with this whole thing.
Yeah. And it's also, it's one of those things that's like, you're not safe. Like, you're not safe. I can get to you at any time. And it's one of those – he's trying to undercut that confidence that he kind of has. He's like – it's a game. Like you said, he's toying with him. He's playing with him.
That's right. And then Cobb interjects and goes, "Simon, this is Inspector Cobb. I can appreciate your feelings for McClane, but believe me, the jerk isn't worth it. He's stepped on so many toes." And then he gets cut off. So once again – Cobb is throwing John under the bus. He doesn't care about him. You know, as far as he's concerned, you know, he's, again, we'll get a little bit more into it on Monday when he goes even further into this whole thing. But I just don't like Cobb's attitude towards John. You know, if he thinks that John is such a great detective and is great at his job, so why act this way to us?
He's mad at him for something. In the very beginning of the film, not very beginning, but towards the beginning of the film, they were trying to find McClane, and they were like, "Oh, he's wherever." And it's like, he doesn't have a badge and a gun at that point. There's a reason he's kind of out of the circle, if you will, and not on the good graces of him. And what he did, we don't really know.
Right. I mean, what we know from the script, the script mentions the fact that John was spending a lot of time in a bar, you know, getting drunk and stuff like that because his marriage had fallen apart. You know, that's something that they point out, but they don't really go into that much detail. They don't go into much detail in the movie about that. So it's possible that that is part of the whole thing that they're dealing with. It's possible. So it's possible it's not. You know, it's one of those things. It could go either way when it comes to, you know. And I mean, I love the phrase "stepping on so many toes," you know, because it's basically it's an idiom that basically means that someone is doing something to upset someone else because they're getting involved in something that is not their own responsibility. It's someone else's responsibility. So, you know, it's like, so it'd be strange. It's strange to me that Cobb uses that phrase. I mean, again, I like the phrase, but it's just strange that he uses it here by saying that John has stepped on so many toes, meaning John is supposed to be doing things, but he's trying to do other people's jobs, that type of thing.
Yeah, or he's gone further than what he should. Instead of following the leader or kind of listening to orders, he's just blown past it and done his own thing.
Correct. So that's an interesting way to phrase the whole thing. That's all I have for this minute. Do you have anything else?
The only other thing I had was just, it's another cliffhanger. And I got to know how many toes were stepped on. You're killing me this week. Nearly every episode's a cliffhanger.
It's not me. You got to blame McTiernan and the editor.
But you picked the minutes. Can't blame me on that one. You picked the minutes. You did this on purpose.
No, but I don't. You're like, I don't break them.
Cliffhangers.
But I don't break the minutes at random places.
That's true. That's fair. That is fair.
I figured that this was a good week to give you, and that's what I gave you. You know, I didn't look at it beforehand and say, "Ooh, I'm going to give Nick cliffhanger minutes." Yeah, sometimes they're cliffhanger minutes, and sometimes they aren't.
It's true.
So I apologize profusely if you're offended by the fact that you got cliffhangers.
No, it's actually kind of exciting. Like it's nice to have that extra energy and that extra little oomph behind it every time. I like it.
It just gives you and everyone listening a reason to listen to the next episode.
That is true.
You see?
I see what you're doing. I'm catching up to you. I'll get you.
That's right. I asked McTiernan, you know, to cut the movie in a certain way so that, you know, 29 years from now, I'm going to be able to piss off Nick Rehak because he's going to be stuck with a whole bunch of cliffhangers that he just isn't going to know how to deal with.
You're playing the long game. I get it. I get it. This is the vengeance part. I see it now.
That's right.
Oh, man.
It's good. It's good that you're able to figure that out.
It only took me 5 episodes, but we're here.
That's right. Well, 5 episodes in 29 years. So you see, there you go.
That's true. That's true.
And it worked. It worked better than I thought.
You fell right into my trap.
That's right. Considering I haven't known you 29 years, but still, you fell right into my trap. 29 years ago, you were chasing after your brother with your shoelaces tied together, trying to find candy at grandma. So, you know.
That's probably true.
I know.
Oh, man.
That I saw that kid doing that, and I said, I'm going to get him 29 years from now.
And it's going to be the greatest inconvenience the world has ever known.
That's right.
Oh, man.
All right. Did you have anything else to say about this minute?
Nope.
All right. So the script, we basically have one little paragraph from this minute where it says, Simon says, McLean and Zeus take a cab to the subway station at 72nd and Broadway. I will call you both in 15 minutes at the payphone on the island. And if you cause noncompliance, you found my grease, your severity of the penalty. So, I mean, it's concise. It's interesting that he calls him Zeus here as opposed to just calling him the Samaritan. I like the fact that he refers back that there's an island there because, again, we will talk about this on Monday. The subway station is located on an island in between the various roads there. So I like that little added touch in the script. Mm-hmm. But I guess if you've never been there or never seen it in person, then you wouldn't necessarily understand, you know, the reference there. All right. So every Friday we have a segment that I call Name That Movie, where the premise here is that, you see, this movie, its original name was Simon Says before it became Die Hard with a Vengeance. So okay. What I decided to do was I gathered up a whole bunch of original movie names, some of them real, some of them fake. The fake ones I didn't make up. They're ones from the, you know, that they used while making the movie in order to, I guess, throw off reporters and stuff like that. And so what I'm going to basically do is I'm going to give you the original name of a movie. I'm going to give you the year that it took place, and you're going to have to try and guess what movie that is.
Okay.
And I like this. You have two lifelines. Okay. I will, you know, you can ask for the name of the director, and you can ask for the name of one of the actors.
Okay.
So again, hopefully you've seen these movies. It is possible that you haven't. That's always the danger of doing things like this. So, you know, we'll have to wait and hope. All right. So the first choice, a movie from 2010, Nottingham. What is the final name of that movie?
That probably would have been I think it was just called Robin Hood. That would have been Ridley Scott's adaptation of Robin Hood.
Yes, it would. Yes. And that would be, and then you got that. Very good. All right. So then the next one we have is a movie. This is a fake title from what I understand. This is a movie from 2016.
Okay.
And the fake title was Wham.
First thing that comes into my mind is I think it was called Music and Lyrics, but it was a Drew Barrymore, Hugh Grant film where Hugh Grant was like an 80s type pop star who had songs similar to Wham. So I'm gonna say Music and Lyrics.
No, it's not that, because Music and Lyrics, if I remember correctly, came out in maybe 2007 or something like that.
Wow.
It was not. I was right. Music and Lyrics came out in 2007. So this is a movie that came out in 2016.
Right. Well, that was only off by that's a little bit, right?
That's fine. You get to keep guessing. It's okay.
Okay.
Would you like a lifeline?
Can I get the director?
The director. Okay, the director is Tim Miller.
Tim Miller. Wham.
2016. Remember, it's a fake title. The fake titles are usually something that's completely different. So basically, you have to use your movie knowledge to try and figure out based on the director. That's, you know, the fake titles are harder to do. I understand that.
But Wham, that's what's WHAM? Because what's throwing me is when I hear Wham,
WHAM exclamation point.
Okay. And you said Tim Miller.
Yes. Are you familiar with Tim Miller any of his work?
I'm trying to think. I don't know. I know of.
I know you have. I can tell you that. I know you know this movie. So
the only thing I can think of. But I wouldn't even know. The Wham part doesn't make sense to me. I feel like it was what's his nuts? Ryan Reynolds. I feel like it was the Deadpool movie, but the Tim Miller thing, it doesn't sound 100% right.
Well, you are correct. It is Deadpool.
Okay. You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking of Phil Lord and Chris Miller. They did like the Lego movie. So I think that Miller thing is throwing me off. Because I don't know a whole lot of Miller directors. So maybe that's what it's doing. I wonder why though for Deadpool.
I do not know the reason for it. There, I know that there is the song "Careless Whisper" in the movie Deadpool.
Okay, maybe that's a little wink and a nod. Maybe that.
Maybe that's the closest you can get to with it.
Okay. I'll. Okay. All right.
You know that I couldn't tell you beyond that. You know, but again, I always love hearing the names of the fake titles, because fake titles are there to basically throw you off.
I wonder when that started. Like, when in filming did they start having not necessarily code names, but like, you know, oh, they're filming, you know, the Brown story over there, and then really it ends up being something completely different. I wonder when that started.
I know that it was. I know that in the 80s they were doing it already. I couldn't tell you if it started before that or not.
Okay.
But I do know that in the 80s they did have that.
All right.
So, but again, my assumption here is that Wham has to do with the fact that they play the song here. And that maybe Ryan Reynolds is a fan of George Michael. You know, that could be the reason.
That works for me. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the only thing that I found was that you know, it was the working title of the movie was Wham. That's all it says. Doesn't say anything about anything beyond that. All right. So you're doing well. You're 2 for 2 so far.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Number 3, 1994, Black Mask.
So that would be, I want to assume it's Batman, because you had Batman 89, but I don't know
if there was no Batman in 1994.
Okay, because that was going to be my thing. I don't know. I didn't know when Returns or Forever was. So that was
Returns was 92 and Forever is 95.
Of course. Of course it is.
Yeah.
Black Mask. No, because that was – I feel like that was closer to 97. I was going to say Zorro. Legend of Zorro, the one with Antonio Banderas.
That's all right, I'm going to give you a different hint. It's something that you mentioned during the week. As part of your top fives.
Oh, interesting. Well, when you say it like that, that makes me immediately think of Pulp Fiction.
And you would be correct.
Interesting. Black Mass.
And the reason that I didn't go into the regular Lifelines, because as soon as I would have said Quentin Tarantino, you would have gotten that anyway.
Yeah.
That's right. So I figured I would give it to you this way to see if you can try and figure that out. Yes. So it was originally known as Black Mask. I guess because of the mask that Marcellus Wallace has to wear. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. And they got the gimp walking around.
That's Ooh. Right.
Ooh, that's creepy. That's
right. Okay. Actually, no. Marcellus Wallace doesn't wear the mask. It's the gimp who's wearing the mask, right?
Yeah. Ooh, creepy.
All right. Yeah. Very. All right. Next one. Number four. From 2002. Static.
2002. Static. The Ring?
Yes. Wow. That is great. That is great. You are the
first
you're
thing I
on
thought
a roll
of was,
here.
First thing I thought of was Radio Static, but then I thought of the static from the TV. Okay.
All right. I'm very proud of you so far, Nick. You're doing great.
Thank you.
And the final one for you from 2007, Oil.
Oh, that's There Will Be Blood.
Yes, it is.
Because that's technically the title of the book by Upton Sinclair.
Okay. I know that you love that movie. That's right. I know that you love that movie, so therefore I decided to throw that in here for you.
I appreciate that. Now, how funny and embarrassing would it have been if I didn't know it at all?
Well, I'm glad you did then. I wasn't trying to embarrass you. You know,
no, it just would have been funny though. Oh.
Yes, it would have been funny. All right. So thank you for playing. That was a lot of fun.
Yes, it was.
And why don't you tell people for one final time where they can get in touch with Nick Rehak?
For one final time, you can get in touch with me over at rabbitholepodcast.com. I'm on two shows there, Play MST for Me, as well as Lyrical Innuendo. One, we're talking about Mystery Science Theater, and the other, we're talking music. And if you want to see what I'm up to on occasion, on the day-to-day, you can find me on Instagram at thatrehak. Yeah, that's where I'm at.
All right. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Move Around Minute. You can find me on my website, movearoundminute.com. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And if you feel like shooting me an email, you can send me an email to movearoundminute@moveyourob.net. So, Nick, this has been a really fun week. I've really enjoyed having you as my guest, even though we're not face-to-face on your basement couch.
This time.
Well, I was talking about this week we were not there. You know, I didn't have to have allergic reactions to, you know, to your cat. So there that's fine. So thank you very much for joining me. I hope you enjoyed yourself as much as I did.
I absolutely did. And I'm like and, I said, looking forward to the next one.
Yeah, me too. But I will be back on Monday with a new guest. But until then, have a great weekend, everybody. Yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Johnny comes marching home again. Hoorah, hoorah. We'll give him a hearty welcome then. Hoorah, hoorah. The men will cheer, the boys will shout. The ladies, they will all turn out. And we'll all feel glad when Johnny comes marching home.